Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Video Clips. And today we have a very, very special treat for you. One of the hardest working persons in the United States of America who doesn't have time to do this, but is doing it for us because he wants you to know what's going on, Tom Renz. So Tom, thank you for agreeing to spend some time with us. And just want to tell everybody a little bit about your background in terms of Make Americans Free Again and that sort of thing. So I met Tom last summer. And two things struck me about that very first day I knew you. And one was that you nailed it. I mean, you were the first person I talked to who had seen all these failed lawsuits that were going on and said, I know how to fix that. I thought, okay, good, because we can't keep doing that, right? And the other thing is it was a Saturday. And I remember because we were having a book event. My book was getting ready to come out. We had a book event at the office. And so I didn't get home till like 6 o'clock. And we ended up talking like on Saturday night for 2 hours. And that's my kind of person. Like, I don't care what day of the week it is or what time it is. I mean, if there's something to do, you know, jump in and do it. So that was a very good first impression. I don't know if you know that, but I thought he's one of us. So anyway, Tom has become the leader of this growing group of, I think, some of the most amazing attorneys in the United States who are working hard for us. Not only is this group representing Make Americans Free Again, they work for Ohio Stands Up, America's Frontline Doctors, you know, all the freedom fighters, all the people that are really going out of their way to try and restore our country. And it's wonderful that we all share this connection with each other, and we're working for the same things, but going at it different ways. Maybe it confuses our opposition a little bit. We can talk about that. So anyway, I want to start with just some background. You know, we filed our first lawsuit in Ohio, and I tell people all the time, lawsuits are like watching paint dry. Okay, they are slow. But you make a comment sometimes, often, and I think it would be good for people to hear when you say, we win when we file. Can you tell everybody what you mean by that?
Well, you know, to file a case, you have to bring it in good faith. You have to believe in your case. And I mean, that's a short way of explaining it. So I would never file a case I didn't believe in. But, you know, we live in an age where everything is censored. And you know, you can't say anything. You just can't. It doesn't matter what you do. They're going to shut you up one way or another. They're going to take you off social media, tell you you're a monster and what have you. So one of the last bastions for truth is the court system. No, it's not perfect. And I know there's a lot of people watching who have all sorts of gripes with the court system, you know, and that's fine. But you do get the right to speak your mind as long as you do so with credibility and you do it in good faith. And so it's critical. And one of the things that happened when we filed that very, very first suit is we, for the first time, were able to share with people that there was another narrative. There was a narrative that was actually based on truth rather than the lies that the DHHS and their cronies in the different states like Mike DeWine and his Department of Health in Ohio, there's another narrative. And that narrative is so important because that narrative, our narrative, is less a fictional work than a non-fictional work. You know, the stuff we're getting from Washington is fiction. Our narrative is truth. We've shown it to be true. We cite things, we show things, we back things up. We don't say one thing and write another. We write what we say and we say what we write. And it's the same stuff. And we do our very best to try and maintain our integrity in all things. So when we filed, people intuitively knew that a lot of this seemed bogus. But when we filed, people had something they could point to, something they could say, yeah, look at this guy did some homework. He can cite to this document. He can explain in really incontrovertible terms what's going on. And that's why it was so important. And that's why a lot of these cases are so important, because we are the only people putting out in a public way this information. And we're putting it out right in front of the courts, where if we're lying, I lose my law license. I can't even do my job anymore if I'm lying. So you can be sure I'm not lying. Meanwhile, the other side, you know, they're running their mouths right and left. But I don't see them saying too much under oath in front of a court. I don't see them going under oath and saying these things, except maybe Fauci when he perjures himself in front of Congress. or at least allegedly. But, you know, that's why it's so important. We've got to have a way to get the truth out, and we're hoping that the courts will help us do that.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, too, it does modify the behavior. Our cases make our rulers and these people nervous because, and they should, because of the fact that it's factual information. And I think in Ohio, we've seen some shifting of gears and change in government response because they really don't want to push things into, they're trying to avoid dealing with us. And I think that's an important thing too. I still firmly believe that we didn't shut down the second time because DeWine didn't want to give the judge reasons for ordering immediate discovery. And so it wasn't a picnic living in Ohio during these last few months, but it was just better than every place else that was affected by this nonsense, you know? So,
and we weren't New York anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And being the model state, I think the shutdown would have been harder on us like it was harder on everybody else the second time around as well. So we filed in a whole lot of other states. We filed in New Mexico, we filed in Maine, we filed in Alaska, we filed a lawsuit there, Kentucky. We're getting ready to file one in New York very soon. We have some other states. We're working on a case in Hawaii. I want to talk a little bit about, or have you talk a little bit about, the shifting strategy. Like as the emergency orders get lifted, and in some cases the actual emergency is being removed, so we can't sue, and I'm sure that that's part of the reason. They don't want us to sue based on the emergency, so they're lifting that. They can bring it back anytime. But in the meantime, there's a whole lot of stuff that we can do in the courts. I mean, there's no end to the lawsuits that we can file. So you might talk about first the fact that everybody needs to like stay on task, we can't stop. And the second thing is maybe the Hawaii case and what's going on in some other cases that are tangentially related to this, but really, really important for accomplishing our goal of saying this is never going to happen to us again.
Yeah, well, and that's really important. So let me start out with this. If you think we've won, you're deluding yourself. Okay, we have not won. So I'm working with more doctors than I can count. I'm working with more people. I couldn't even list everybody I'm working with. Everybody that I talk to is saying the same thing. For the people who are getting this vaccine, there was actually just a study came out yesterday, and they're saying that 60% of the breakthrough cases on the vaccine are these variants. Okay, so all of my doctors, the ones that aren't getting paid by the pharmaceutical companies to lie to you, are saying the same thing. They're saying that these mutant strains, these variants, they're all being caused by people who got the vaccination. The vaccination's causing that. Okay, mind you, these vaccinations are brand new. mRNA technology has never been used, probably for good reason. And so no one knows what's going to happen because they didn't bother testing them. So we've got these breakthrough cases, and what everybody's expecting is that come this fall, when COVID starts showing up again naturally, which whether it's COVID or the flu is hard to tell, but you know, whatever. When that cold and flu season rolls around, because these vaccines are so damaging, there's a lot of concern that people are going to really get super sick who got them. So that's going to be wave two. They're going to say it's a new mutant strain. It's a new this, it's a new that. And boy, you better get your booster shot and see, this is because of you guys who wouldn't get vaccinated. Then you're going to have more lockdowns and more crises. And until everyone's got a needle in their arm, they're going to keep going. So if you think that this has been won, let me tell you, you're wrong. That said, in Ohio, I had a lot of people say, well, why didn't you refile the emergency case? Well, let me tell you why. So we filed the case, and it was the first of its kind, and we decided strategically for a number of reasons that it was best to remove that case. We felt that was the right thing to do for our plaintiffs. So we removed the case, and we were preparing to refile it. In the meantime, and we made it very clear that we were going to refile it. I mean, we didn't hide this by any means. You know, anybody that's following Ohio Stands Up or MAFA, I mean, you guys heard this. So, you know, I said we're going to refile. Well, in the meantime, DeWine pulled his emergency order, right? So he shut it down. I don't know if you all recall hearing when DeWine said, hey, we're going to consolidate all these orders. Well, he did, but he reissued under a single order the new restrictions, and he did them without doing it under an emergency, right? So that would have meant that filing this emergency case was no longer, it just wasn't all that useful. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can't prove this. I'll be the first one to admit this. But I absolutely believe that the reason that he refiled those orders without the emergency is because he knew that if we, restructured the case and refiled it again, that I just don't think it was a winnable case for him. And I think he just wanted to dodge it. That's my opinion. Again, I can't prove it. But what I can prove is that the emergency is no longer an issue here. So regardless of whether I had anything to do with it, I'm very happy to say that because I live in the state. If we could convince them to honor people's right to choose what they do with their own body and not get their employers or other people to force them to get this experimental jab, I'd be much happier. But we're working on legislation related to that now, and we're certainly going to be having all sorts of lawsuits coming up on it. There's a lot of lawsuits happening right now. The strategy's had to shift. Okay, that's huge. So when we started out, everybody wanted to get free again. Oh my God, they're locking us down. They're forcing us to stay in our houses, and they're doing this. They're shutting our business. Well, they're starting to open back up in large part because of the people who supported this work, okay? Have my cases had an impact? I don't know. I'd like to think so. But the reality is that in my opinion, one of the most important things that has happened is that the people have started to speak out. The people are speaking up. They're saying, no, we're not doing this anymore. We're done. And I think that's had a huge impact. I can tell you firsthand, talking to legislators and elected officials, that they hear you. They know we're mad. They know we've had enough. Now, I can tell you that there seems to be some, for lack of a better term, absolute idiocy in some of our political parties. I mean, I know that they're trying to, they're planning on trying to nominate DeWine again for another go run at governor because he's done so well this time. And, Jane Timken to be our senator, because that's what we need. That's exactly what we need in Ohio. And it's not limited to Ohio. I mean, we have this in a lot of states where the parties are just brain dead. In other states, I can say that the parties, they've heard loud and clear. I mean, look at what Florida's been doing. God bless them. Missouri has taken a great stand. There's a number of states. I mean, South Dakota, let's look at that. I mean, they were smart from the beginning. So, there are good places. It's just, we've got to retake the parties. I mean, frankly, we got to get rid of these rhinos. They need to be gone forever. So there's that. But our strategy shifted, right? We're pushing litigation. We're also pushing legislation. We're trying to educate people. But the other thing is, because a lot of states are really opening up now, at least until this fall when they try and say we got to lock down again, we have got to focus on them trying to force people to take an experimental vaccination. And I urge you, I pray, I know with this audience, I don't have to say it too much, but do not let your children get this. Please do not let them experiment on your children. Your children are at zero statistical risk of death from COVID. Zero. I can't say it enough. Zero. So the idea that they're going to put an experimental injection with no long-term tests, because it hasn't been invented long enough to test, and with very, very little in the way of any sort of real testing now, is sick. This is like what the Nazis did. They vaccinated people. They gave medical experimentation without informed consent. You can't coerce people into giving informed consent. That's not informed consent, then it's coercion. So this is egregious what's happening. We're challenging it in the courts, and that's part of one of the big shifts in strategies is we had to go after this because there's lives at risk. There are people who are dying from this every day. They're covering it up. There's children dying from it. And I'm a dad and a husband, God, family, country. You go where you got to go. So we've shifted a lot. That's why we've shifted a lot. It's been, victories and fight and, just kind of an evolution.
Yeah, and this is a case that you filed with America's Frontline Doctors to for children to a temporary restraining order for children under the age of 16. And I know that I put out a video just kind of describing it, and I got thousands of responses. People are furious about it, and I think that you know, one of the things we have to do is we have to harness all the fury about everything. Like, people are furious about the vaccination issue and kids being forced. They're furious about the airlines. They're furious about the flipping big box stores who stood there with masked Nazis at the door. And I've heard you talk about, and I love when you say this, that we've got to teach these people a lesson, you know, that gate agents make bad doctors and that sort of thing, you know. So I think what people really want to hear is that we're going to go get the bad guys at some point in time who did this to everybody. There's a feeling of, like, we want justice. So talk a little bit about some of the suits that you'd like to file in the future.
Oh, I want to get the bad guys. I can't wait to get the bad guys. I want them to be as miserable as they've made all the people, which, considering the number that they've killed, I think it's pretty miserable. So with regards to that, I think we got to start out with the number one thing, right? So Pam, no secret to you. You and I, you know, we're friends, and we've talked more than enough. My priority list is very simple. Maybe I'm not the brightest guy. It's real simple. God, family, country, right? That's it. You ask me what I'm going to do. I'm not a hard guy to understand. Now, I fail. I mean, I'm not like the perfect Christian. In fact, I'm far from it. I'm an absolute disaster. But God, family, country, that's my goal. I try to go after that. So when I think about what I'm doing, you know, we start out with what's the priority. And the priority to start out with was freedom. Okay, we had understood that the disease was not what they were saying it was. It wasn't killing everybody. They lied. So we wanted freedom. Now, we fast forward. They're trying to kill people with this vaccine. Okay, maybe they're not trying to kill them, but that's what they're doing. Okay, so we've got to save lives. And the ultimate thing that you got to remember is, I work around the clock. I don't sleep. I work. It doesn't matter when you talk to me, I'm working. I take breaks to say prayers with my kids and to give my wife a hug because she's awesome. And that pretty much covers it. So there's 24 hours in a day and I got two hands. And we're working hard, thanks to Pam and a lot of good friends of mine. There's a lot of people out here who are working hard to get me the resources to be able to do more. And I will. I'll do as much as I can possibly do. Our kids deserve that. But because of the limitations, you know, I mean, I'm not a big shot. I'm a solo practitioner. I still haven't hired. I just hired an assistant. Woohoo! I've made it big time. So, you know, not a big shot. So there's limits to what I can accomplish just due to the resources, right? Now, we've had a lot of people that have started to help with that, thank God. And I've made some wonderful friends, some of these other attorneys I'm working with, they're true patriots. And by the way, if you've got one of my attorney friends working in your state, please support them. Please, they deserve it. They're working their tail off. I can assure you that. But we've had to prioritize based on the resources we have. And the first priority is, you know, life and then freedom. Life was never an issue until they started with the vaccine. I mean, you know, the disease wasn't killing people. The vaccine's probably more dangerous than the disease. It's hard to say for sure, but it sure looks that way. But it's certainly, there's no reason to take the risk with the vaccine because the disease isn't killing people. So we're doing that, but I'm sure you've noticed a switch, kind of a shift in the air here, right? Gosh, somehow suddenly they're talking about that this virus may have came from a lab. Really? We're finally getting to that, right? I mean, the fact that the genetic sequencing of this disease clearly shows that there are insertions that could not happen in nature. I mean, you know, but who would expect a guy like Fauci to know that, I mean, you know, a dumb lawyer like me can.
He's only the best virologist in the world, right? So he's, how could he possibly know?
Yeah, just ask him. Just ask him. A dumb lawyer like me can figure it out, but he can't.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, they're starting to look at this, right? Right? So, I mean, there's kind of a shift in things. We're opening up. They're starting to look at this. We're getting closer to where I'm going to be able to quit trying to save and really go on the offensive. And make no mistake, that's coming. I'm not vindictive. I'm not, you know, but I got to make sure this never happens again. So we're going to hold these people accountable. They will see their day in court. The time frame, well, I don't know what that's going to be. It's going to be based on how quick I can, you know, ensure that we're safe and safely and effectively not getting this poisonous vaccine, right? But yeah, it's coming. And I got to tell you, the nature of them, I don't want to give away too much, but I'm going to tell you, it's, yeah, everybody knows Fauci's a bad guy. Everybody knows about a few names. I don't think people yet know the extent to which we've been able to connect the dots. And I don't want to give that away yet, but we've been able to connect the dots in a very profound way. And there are a lot of bad guys that are going to be going down on this. And I'm going to put this shot over the bow. Hey, mainstream media, we see the collusion. We see where your funding's coming from. And remember, if you had reason to know that this vaccine is not what it's being stated to be, and you covered that up, you may be liable for the deaths of the people who are getting it. So just something to think about when you guys are continuing to attack me as a nutcase. Because remember, you can't hurt my feelings into submission, because I don't care. I have no pride. And I'm too stupid to stop.
I love that. And I think, you know, I don't think you can operate on anger, and I don't want to come from that standpoint, but I think that there's a certain amount of outrage, and I've shared the same criticism that you have. I mean, there's a chapter in this book called The Origin of the Virus, in which I talk exactly about how it happened and the whole nine yards. I'm a stupid naturopath in Columbus, and I figured it out, right? So all these people who are supposedly the ones that are dangerous, misinformed, misinforming the public, the whole nine yards, it's going to turn out that we were right after all. But having said this, that we don't want to run on anger all the time, I think there is a certain feeling that they must pay for what they did as a deterrent. You know, that's how you make sure this never happens again. If some of these governors lose their fortunes, for example, the next person in their position might not be so hot to try to do this. And if, God, if we could put Fauci in jail, then maybe the next chair of the NIAID wouldn't stay there for 40 years and do some of the things that he did. So I think people will feel good about that. And by the way, you mentioned something really important for everybody listening to this, and that is that we're doing as much as we can with the resources that we have. And I just came off of our Thursday call, and I say the same thing every Thursday when I train 150 new people. If we have more people and more resources, we can get more done faster. So how fast do you want this to be over? So go to makeamericansfreeagain.com and donate. Start a Thursday group and recruit. Like, if we all work on this, this really can be an uprising of citizens to take our freedoms back, stop the government from harming us and our children, and really say this will never happen again. I think that one of the things we say at our Thursday group every week is we can never say mission accomplished. That's not we can't do that now. And we also must say every day, you, government, will never do this to us again. And it's up to us to make sure that that happens at this point.
Well, and to that extent, let me tell you, I've given people my word that I was going to keep fighting this as long as I could, or until we win, one of the two. And I hold to my word. But you, no one, I mean, no one should trust me with this fight. You guys have to take responsibility for this. You shouldn't trust anyone with this fight, right? This is your kids' lives and freedom. It's your future. It's the future of America. God bless America. Mm-hmm. If we don't take responsibility for this ourselves, if we don't fight this ourselves individually, yeah, I'm an attorney. yeah, I file suits and okay, you know, now you hear me doing whatever I'm doing, yeah, whatever. So what? That doesn't make my work any more important than the person who prints something out and talks to the person next to them, okay? Because, you know, this started with a handful of people who had the courage to fight and couldn't find a better attorney. They, we just committed to this and from their Ohio Stands Up, from their Make Americans Free Again, from their America's Frontline Doctors, from there, and there's a lot of other groups that we're connecting with and connected with. And what it's become for me is an opportunity to help bring these groups together in a way where we can all fight. We're all fighting for, you know, that we're fighting the same fight. And I don't care about anything but the cause. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I'm in this for the cause. If you know me, that's what I'm here for. I believe in freedom. I believe in liberty. That's what I'm fighting for. And that's what you have to feel in your heart if you want to make a difference. And I can't say this enough. This is not one. I don't care that you can take your mask off in Target now. I don't care that you can possibly go to Costco now without a mask. I care that this is not over. I assure you this is not over. Mm-hmm. Until we have a long ways to go, a long ways to go. And there has to be some people who pay for this. The truth has to come out in a way that they can't deny it publicly anymore. Until you hear CNN saying, wow, this whole thing was fraud, that's when we've won. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. When CNN says it, not because I care about CNN, I don't, not one bit. It has to be that undeniable to the American public. Until every single person in this world understands the fraud that's occurred, the number of people that were allowed to die so that others could be enriched and made more powerful, and so that the United States of America could be further weakened. Those are the three motives, okay? If you want to know why this is being done, there's three motives. Weaken the United States, for some people to become more powerful, and for some people to become more wealthy. That's it. Mm-hmm. Until that is known and understood by every person on this planet, we have not won. So you have to keep fighting this. Don't let your guard down. Don't let them make you think that, you know, we got the masks off. No need to go to our Thursday meetings. No need to do this. Oh, no. I don't know. You know, if you're in Ohio, P.S., they're still planning on running DeWine again, and they're running Jane Timken. I mean, we didn't win. Okay. We've had some victories, but we haven't won.
Yeah. Well, you know, and something I want to say, and I have a couple other questions I wanted to bring up about cases, but, you know, I think I fell into this and a lot of people fell into this. I used to talk about, I support this group, I support that group. So what does that mean? Well, I write a check every year. My name is in the database, you know, that's support. Well, it's a form of support. But with some exceptions, but fewer than I'm proud of, actually, support is when you go to work, when you roll up your sleeves and say, I am actually doing something to make this better. And I think that I think good things can come out of this. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are figuring out that that's just not good enough anymore. You can't put your name in a database and send $25 and wait for the good news that the problems are fixed. We all have to get really active in fixing it. And so I've done, you know, some things to make changes and all that sort of thing. But I have to say the best thing I ever did was start my Thursday group, right? Because that is real activism. And that's helping people one person at a time. That's how you build a coalition. You don't build a coalition by posting something on Facebook, if you even could. I think Facebook did us a favor when they started censoring because it forced humans to talk to each other. And people ask me all the time, like, how do you find people? You find people by just talking to people. Everybody who's ever come to my house in the last 15 months to do work has heard about this. Every time I see an unmasked person someplace on the sidewalk, they hear about this. And that's the type of communication and fabric weaving together of people we have to do. So I think this is going to make a big difference. And you know, you talk about saving the United States of America, and that's near and dear to my heart because I love this country. But you and I both get emails from people all over the world. They are hoping we save our country because as goes the United States, so goes the rest of the world. So the people in Australia and Ireland and Canada, they are hoping and praying every day that we do what we do here well. So anyway, I'm excited about the future. I'm nervous about it because we can't, like you said, we have got to be diligent, but I'm kind of excited about what's coming next and getting the bad guys, you know. I think that's an important part. One thing that we've talked about, and this is another tangential issue, like the vaccine is a tangential issue. They use the pandemic and the taking away of our freedoms to get the vaccine thing done. All right, so another tangential issue is they censored doctors. They've actively gone after the licenses of doctors who speak out. And that's been going on for years, even before this. Boy, you toe the party line, right? And then they've also marginalized everybody who's not a medical doctor or a nurse or whatever. And I think that's a lot of how they pulled this off. And I know you have some ideas about doing something about that at some point in time too, so that medicine is not so censored and rigid and, you know, this should be scientific debate, not censorship from the White House or wherever else it's coming from, right?
Well, it absolutely must be. And, you know, I'll tell you how strongly I believe in that. At the very top of this last document, and something that you're going to see from me a lot, is this quote. I'm going to read. Nobody likes it when you read on air, but I'm going to read. The Constitution of this Republic should make special provision for medical freedom. To restrict the art of healing to one class will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are un-American and despotic. Unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship and force people who wish doctors and treatment of their own choice to submit to only what the dictating outfit offers. Now, that was attributed to Benjamin Rush, who was one of our founding fathers, supposedly the doctor for George Washington and some others. And man, did he nail it. Mm-hmm. Man, did he nail it. The AMA, which is apparently bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies, put out a writ. If your doctors aren't supporting and getting this vaccine, well, you know, they're violating their ethics. And they did that so that people could report their doctors right and left all over the place for violating ethics because their doctors, in their own medical judgment, didn't believe in experimenting with people. My dear friend Eric DePute, a DO chiropractor and naturopath, the guy's got more hours of schooling than any 10 people should ever have. The federal government is suing him for promoting vitamin D and zinc as a means of helping to avoid, you know, the symptoms of COVID. Really? I mean, we all know that it works. There's studies showing that it works. This is absurd. This is censorship. And, you know, they're going after doctors' licenses. They're going after people trying to shut them up. To tell a doctor who has sworn an oath to do no harm that he's not supposed to sell vitamin D or zinc or talk about it as a possible treatment, that's insane. Mm-hmm. That's insane. They're asking him to violate his oath. If he believes that that's the best way to do no harm, they're asking him to violate that oath. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the First Amendment. That's what our government's doing. They're trying to suppress this. They're trying to shut people down. Why? Why would you do that? I can tell you why. Because you've got people like Fauci who've made more money than God off of their position, lying to everyone that they can about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is incredible. It is incredible. And this whole licensure garbage thing, I mean, the way that they have monopolized this, oh, you can't talk about someone's health. I mean, that's medical advice. Oh, for crying out loud. That's nonsense. Let me tell you what, I'm a lawyer. You know what bothers me about lawyers? The law should be accessible to everyone. If you don't understand the law, then why is it the law? We've made it too complicated. You shouldn't have to pay me what I'm paid. Well, I wish you'd pay me more. You shouldn't have to pay me to interpret this nonsense. It shouldn't be this complicated. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The law should be accessible to everyone. And guess what? Just because you didn't pay out the AMA for a license doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to say, you know what, I think this would be good for your health. I'll tell you why. And then you know what? I can either take your advice or not. It used to be that we were responsible for our own decisions. Now we've got warning labels on everything from doctors to tinker toys. I mean, you name it. Everything, has, you know, we've got to protect everyone from everything because we're all too stupid to make our own decisions. It's absurd. It is absurd.
Yeah, and it goes to the, you talked about all these relationships, and there's some that I don't think we want to talk about now for the reasons that you stated, but you've mentioned you've got the medical boards and the licensure boards. You've got the AMA and the professional associations, with a few exceptions, but they've been complicit in this. You've got the media, you've got the federal government, you've got the state governments, you've got the NIAID, all these agencies and the federal government that have done this, the social media sites. I mean, this took an enormous coordinated effort to do. And we haven't even gotten to some of the underlying stuff that will come out in the court cases. This took an enormous amount of coordination to do, and it goes to what we're up against. But I really believe, and I think you do too, that they've made some real crucial errors in this whole thing. And when we don't have the resources they have, but we have a tremendous amount of motivation, and we're backed by an increasingly growing number of people. And I think if we just watch for their vulnerabilities and take advantage of those things, we have a very good chance of prevailing, punishing the bad guys, and basically saying, just like after World War II, this will never happen again. Well, we're shockingly kind of back there. Maybe it's every 70 years you need something like this to happen to remind everybody of why we have to be ever diligent. But I think we're going to win it, and I think you believe that too.
Yeah, I'm not in to do anything but win, I'll tell you that. My kids will have a better future than what they have right now. I mean, I am just not going to happen in my world.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're on our side. And once again, just to let everybody know how you can help. First of all, I put out a newsletter. If you're not getting my newsletter, I put out a lot of written referenced information every Monday, videos 4 days a week. Read my book. They're turning into, people will think I'm psychic. Remember when Mr. Fauci said that we were going to have a pandemic during Trump's presidency? You might read this book published last year and say, Pam has those same psychic powers, because it's all happening now, right? But and then join Make Americans Free Again. Start a Thursday group. We have training calls and all kinds of resources for you. And please do donate. The more money, I mean, unfortunately, it costs money to do this. And they have billionaires, and you guys are stuck with us. So, you know, go to Make Americans Free Again and donate money. We appreciate it a whole lot. Tom, thank you. I know that you're busy and you don't sleep, and it means an awful lot from the bottom of my heart for you to take this time today when I know that you got 75 other things that you could be doing. So on behalf of everybody who watches my stuff, thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Well, listen, MAFA has done so much to support this. And God bless every single one of you who have a Thursday group. God bless every single one of you that is doing what you got to do to rescue small businesses, to support what we're doing, to stand up against an overwhelming army of just incredibly powerful people. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep it up and help this to grow. This is how we create a long-term sustainable movement. We organize, we educate, and we don't give up. Ever. We don't put our guard down. The price of freedom is and has always been eternal vigilance. My generation sat on its hands for the last 20 plus years. We just sat there and enjoyed the ride. And now look where we're at. We cannot enjoy the ride. You have to stay active. You have to stay active when you think that things are good, especially when you think things are good, because I assure you, there is always someone trying to stop it. So please, stay active, support MAFA, and thank you for all that you're doing.
Thanks, Tom.